The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. This is America First One-on-One with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, the author of The War for America's Soul, former strategist to President Trump, and still member of the National Security Education Board in the Pentagon, because I guess Biden's a little bit afraid of OG MAGA. Talking of which, we have an individual with us who, if they gave out official employee identity cards, his would say employee number one of Breitbart News. He is the editor-in-chief of the most influential conservative news site on the planet. He's Alex Marlowe. Welcome, Alex, to America First.
Thank you, Dr. G. Always appreciate the kind intro, and I appreciate the opportunity to return the favor for you, who always is on my show on Thursdays, which we love.
Yeah, we talk national security. We talk domestic politics, MAGA, national security every Thursday morning on your SiriusXM Patriot News Channel show. Please check out the podcast. Alex is a very, very good social media platform. Just go to all the usual places and plug in at Alex Marlowe and check out the podcast as well. So much to discuss. Let's start. We have to, because of the left's reaction to it, with the events of Uvalde. The shooting, the horrific shooting in Texas. When somebody who is running for governor stages a disruption of the first press conference from the sitting governor, the head of public safety, the superintendent of schools, the lieutenant governor, and grandstands on the still warm bodies of those who were killed, shouldn't we draw some conclusions as to the depths of the depravity that the left are prepared to sink to, Alex?
Yeah, this was something that certainly would have seemed uncouth 10 or 15 years ago. And now it's something that probably surprises no one who reads the news on a regular basis. It used to be that there used to be some sort of a governor in the brain of people on the left, and to the right, but to a much lesser degree do they have this problem, where there's an urge to politicize every single moment. And there is a thought that perhaps there are some things that are more important than politics. And now everything is officially political. It's been game on. It really finally solidified when Donald Trump came down that escalator in 2015. I mean, that was it. That was the moment when everyone just realized it's game on. However you politicize anyone, that's how you do it. And now we're at a point where a very weak individual, a Irishman who poses as a Latinx named Beto O'Rourke, otherwise known as Robert Patty O'Rourke, comes in and he hijacks a press conference so that he can virtue signal, and you the right word, it is a grandstand. One thing that struck me was just how powerless he is. This is a guy who's been running for office constantly, it feels like, for the last half decade, and he has nothing. All he can do is interrupt like he's some sort of a code pink, pink hat protester at some sort of a rally. That's what he's doing here. This is the type of stuff I would see in my college when I was trying to host a conservative speaker on campus. And this is something that he's doing purely for his own political benefit.
When I came on your show yesterday, because, I mean, it is your job as the editor-in-chief, you said, and I hadn't seen this because that's why I pay my producer the big bucks to watch the garbage, gutter, legacy, lying media. You said that this act, this act of desecration, was actually celebrated by the mainstream media. Can you talk about that, Alex?
Yeah, this was unbelievable. We track this quite a bit at Breitbart because we look at analytics dashboards about what's popular in social media. And it was an overwhelming response from the left. Most of the most popular stories for a moment in time, I believe it was Wednesday of this week, on social media were actually positive stories where the left came out in full force in order to back Beto here, to suggest that this is, he's basically channeling the id, the inner monologue of all of us who are outraged about this. And I think it's very important to note, as conservatives who don't always consume left-wing media, that really this type of stuff is quite popular in certain circles. Now, it wasn't 100%. Some people on the left point out the same stuff. It looked way political. It looked exploitative. And that it was, the timing was bad, and it was wildly unproductive other than to get Beto a few headlines. But a lot of people were all in on it. A lot of people thought the major currency in American politics right now is outrage. And if Beto figured out a way to show the most outrage, then that was a positive.
Well, let's talk about the real deeper story here. I've been doing, you know, international interviews with, you know, about America's gun culture and why we have so many shootings and having to defend the Second Amendment, which of course makes us unique and why we will never be subjects but always citizens. But I tweeted out as soon as this event was reported a prediction that hasn't been gainsaid so far, that there will be indicators of this person doing violence, which were seen already. The colleagues he had at that burger joint talked about his strangeness, the fact that clearly he's from a broken home living with his grandmother, on top of the fact that he's a self-harmer. This is a young man who thinks it's normal or okay to cut your face repeatedly. This is the real story here. This is how we are where we are with Parkland, with, of course, the shooting in New York and in California. We have an assault on the fabric of Western society, and that's the real story. And the thing that occurred to me in our discussion on your show is there doesn't seem to be one person of the left, and I don't mean just politicians or talking heads, you know, the chattering classes, who's prepared to say the real answer here, that if you have an assault on the nuclear family, if you have an assault on faith, if you have the assault on the concept of healthy manhood, this is going to happen, Alex.
Yeah, and it's been very noteworthy over the last day or two to finally hear from the mother, who I didn't even think was in the picture. I mean, I'm all for looking into the parents and figuring out ways to prosecute the parents if that is possible. I don't know if it is with the current system. But you can't let these people slip through the cracks. When you see you have an individual who is your child who's cutting his face, then you got to make damn sure your number one priority in life is to make sure he doesn't get high-capacity weaponry. And it's one of these things, Dr. G, where I think if you took this issue and used it as a test case for whether or not there should be any sort of gun control whatsoever, I think you get a very popular response that, yeah, we would love to figure out a way to make sure this individual doesn't get weapons. And what's striking to me is the reason why it's not going to happen, the reason the Democrats can't pass any sort of gun control, is because none of us trust the system. None of us trust law enforcement to be able to vet people purely based on whether or not they're a legitimate threat to shoot up an elementary school, because we see where we dedicate law enforcement resources these days under the FBI, under Merrick Garland. They try to put stuff in like the Ministry of Truth. They look into parents who are don't like CRT or trans people in bathrooms. And this is a reflection of a huge broken rift within our system, that we no longer have law enforcement that's credible in this way. And it took a Border Patrol officer to save the day here, which is stunning to me that that's the case.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for confirmation as to whether or not law enforcement, local law enforcement, waited outside for more than an hour and prevented parents from rushing in. I hope they didn't, but we will find out as the investigations progress. Have to ask you the broader political ramifications. Do you think that we're 5 months away from a midterm? Do you think now it's clear we have the scenario, given the state of the economy, national security, inflation, and everything else, that the Democrats are going to go back to the old hoary topics of Roe v. Wade and gun control? Is that going to be the platform?
That's all they have, and I don't think it's as effective as it once was. I think that there's a Rasmussen poll out recently that suggests that people don't think gun control would have stopped a mass shooting like this. And if you look at the constellation of mass shootings of late in Buffalo, where there were red flag laws which weren't even used, we had this case where the guy was largely under the radar, and it really should have fallen on the family to stop him. And then you have things like Parkland, where the guy was on the FBI's radar for so long and should have been stopped and wasn't. They don't have a coherent answer to how to stop this, other than, I guess, people with guns coming up to your house, Dr. G, confiscating your guns as a law-abiding citizen, and then incinerating them in some sort of a massive inferno. They don't have anything. They just have emotion, and that's why Beto resonates with them. But I also am seeing, I'm not seeing the abortion issue move the needle quite as much as it once did. Let's see if Roe v. Wade does get overturned, and if it does, what the protests are like. But that just feels like all they're doing right now is trying to consolidate their left-wing base, because that's all they have left. They lost independents, and they're even losing, I think, some people who were moderate Democrats who were a steadfast part of the party until the woke revolution took place.
Yeah. As of yesterday's polling, the lowest approval ratings for any president in modern history, that is Joe Biden. He's the author of Breaking the News. You've got to follow him at Alex Marlowe. We'll be discussing that book next here on America First. If you enjoy the show as much as we like providing it to you, please make sure to subscribe. It's absolutely free. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Write a review. It helps with those dastardly algorithms. It's absolutely free to make sure you never miss an episode of America First. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code GORKA. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off mypillow.com. Do it today. Promo code GORKA. Dear friends, if you registered for our Stand With Israel tour, we're going to the Holy Land 10 days later this year for the trip of a lifetime with the director of 2,000 Mules, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. Join us for the trip of a lifetime. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Reserve your tickets today by calling 855-565-5519 or going to standwithisraeltour.com. I'm not vaccinated, and I'm going, so there's no excuse not to join us. 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com. Alex, we were talking about the Second Amendment, the assault on it, the news from Uvalde. We can segue very smoothly to the topic of your book, Breaking the News, and the big issue of big tech, because Elon Musk, the individual you warned me about that we had so many high hopes of, tweeted out, I think it was on Thursday morning or Wednesday night, that, yeah, we have to do something about these AR-15s, maybe some special kind of registration or training. And I just tweeted out, Elon, you are doing so well. Let's break down this story. The book is Breaking the News. You've got to get it from our guest, Alex Marlowe. Breaking the News, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. Where are you at in terms of Twitter? I don't know if you're on Truth Social. Something's happened on Truth Social. My account is now 2,000-3,000 new followers every single day for the last week. So something exponential is happening there. They're opening it up to Android as well. We had Devin Nunes on the show. We invited President Trump on the show as well. Are we starting to see some glimmers of hope, or are you still concerned that this is the most powerful weapon the left has to distort and steal elections?
Yeah, it is one of the most powerful for sure. Noteworthy is maybe the most powerful of them all is Google, which President Trump was complaining that Google might be discriminating against True Social. And that would be great because I spoke to Donald Trump personally a couple of years ago about the threat of big tech. And he was really obsessed with Twitter. And I get why that was his most powerful tool. But for his supporters, the most powerful tools have been Google and Facebook by a mile, Google number one. And so if he's getting fired up about Google, assuming he runs for president next time around, that could be a very good thing because he needs to crack the whip on Google, who is manipulating elections in a major way, in my opinion. But what's happening is Musk is going to disappoint. If you're a Musk super fan, if you think he's some sort of pure guy, he's going to disappoint you in different ways. He does a lot of things and says a lot of things that do make me indicate some of the red pilling is legitimate. I was kind of in the camp. It's most all performance art to advance his businesses. I'm not there anymore. I now think he has internalized some of the values you and I have, Dr. G, but he's going to keep making mistakes. He's way too tied to China. He is not going to be pure on the free speech front. And then now we're seeing he is kind of into grabbing a few guns here and there, which you can't do it. You can't have that approach. You have to have the approach. It's a slippery slope. And if we start letting the government grab some guns, they're going to try to grab them all. That's what they wanted to do. And that's what it's going to be. But it's your second point. I love that Trump's now on True Social. I think it makes the competition more robust between the two platforms. And I think that's a good thing.
Does it have logic, though, if you're talking about social media not really being designed to be tribal, that there's, you know, one social media platform for one political identity? Does the fact that it's 99% Trump voters and then the odd troll that comes into the feed, does it make sense as a business model? You've written the book, you understand social media. Andrew Breitbart was a genius.
Yeah.
Does it have legs for the future?
It's such a great question with such a tough answer, and one where I've shifted. I would have been a hard no on this a few years ago, but it's very clear that the left now, which has taken over so many of America's corporations, is just going to take their ball and go home. They don't want to be exposed to different ideas. They don't want to interact with people with whom they disagree. They want to censor us. They want to throw us off their platform. They demand a cult-like allegiance to a sort of woke bill of rights that they have, that we could go through some of the tenets of it. Many of them are in the book. And so, unfortunately, I do think we should create our own platforms, even if it means we're kind of hanging out amongst ourselves. I think it should start there and see if we can bring more people to the fray who are open-minded thinkers, because Twitter is always going to be overwhelmingly left, and it's going to be very hostile to free speech until something radically changes, because their business model is not right now based on free speech. The business model is based on pandering to woke, angry, left-wing millennials that make up most of their platform and their corporate workforce.
You have on the bookshelf behind you the seminal work, a book that changed my life. That's the late Andrew Breitbart's Righteous Indignation. You're his number one employee, his first employee. How would he react? Because he's an iconic figure, a unique figure, tinge of libertarianism there. What would his response be to the social media oligarchs today? Would it be break up, leave it alone, and compete? What do you think he would say?
It's very hard to say because he did have a wide libertarian streak, and I think he loved interacting with the left and just trying to beat them on their own playing field. But I can't imagine that when he saw how rigged the game is right now, where there is so much collusion amongst the tech elite and the government creating this sort of super state, that he would have stood for it. But I'm always reluctant to channel exactly what Andrew would have thought, because one thing we loved about him is he always brought new insight to every situation. But I can tell you he wouldn't have liked the situation, whether or not he would have said that, you know, for sure we must break up big tech. I would hope he would have thought that, but it's hard to know because I don't want to put ideas in his mouth. But as an outside the box thinker, don't think you can put him in the cookie cutter. Oh, it's a private business. They're allowed to do what they want. Obviously not. Obviously the modern day conglomerate benefits greatly from favorable government deals, and that's how they get so big.
Yeah. The book is breaking the news. You've got to get it. You've got to follow this gentleman, Alex Marlow, on social media. Breaking the news, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One. Thank you for your kind comments, especially on social media, about the new and improved Dr. G, 30 pounds lighter. I'm delighted, and I'm so grateful to Dr. Ashley Lucas of PhD Nutrition. Please, if you are desperate to lose the weight like I've been for 20 years, if you're fed up of those stupid calorie-counting diets, do what I did. It's the simplest weight loss program I've ever tried, and it's just... There's no thinking. There's no craving. It just works. Go right now to myphdweightloss.com or call 828-552-3333. They provide 80% of the food. You get a personal consultant that you check in with every week. It is the system that worked for me after 20 years. Check it out for yourself, myphdweightloss.com, or call today. 828-552-3333. That number again, 828-552-3333. MyPhDWeightLoss.com, MyPhDWeightLoss.com. Alex, let's address the big issue of the film I was involved in. It's 2,000 Mules. It is the proof that everybody says doesn't exist. The 2 petabytes worth of data, almost 5 million minutes of CCTV camera footage that Dinesh D'Souza brought to the table with Catherine Engelbrecht. We were told that it didn't happen. We're conspiracy theorists. It's out there, record-breaking, more than 1 million downloads, more than 100,000 DVDs mailed out. I'm sure you've seen the movie. We were there at Mar-a-Lago with the president watching the premiere. Do you think documentaries of this ilk can have an impact on the next election? Do you think there are people who will say, yep, those crazy conservatives were right?
Yeah, I do, actually, because I think that this keeps the conservative movement fired up, and it keeps us, I think, focused on what are some real election integrity issues, which we all knew they were there. And I think at Breitbart, where we did hundreds of stories on election integrity in the run-up to the election, I mean, dating back to 2015, where we were concerned about some things within the system. And then, of course, afterwards, a lot of the things that we were focused on were some of the things, like, for example, this community organizing, which was really on display in the film, where you see people who are clearly community organizers, no doubt paid operatives of the left, driving from ballot box to ballot box, stuffing them with God knows what, maybe legitimate votes, maybe semi-legitimate votes, maybe illegitimate votes. But we all know that that's not how our elections are supposed to go. We've warned about that exact same stuff. And to see the evidence, I think, does focus the mind. And I think focusing on things like that and not on things like Dominion voting machines, I think is very important. I think the right knew something was up. They knew that Joe Biden, who campaigned from his basement, didn't get a record-setting 85 million legitimate votes. But how did we get to that number? I think now we're starting to actually see things that make sense to people. Yeah. And I think that even if the left doesn't watch it enough, and they won't, I do think that this is a much stronger grounds for us to argue that the election wasn't entirely free or fair than what we were doing in the immediate aftermath of the election.
After the election, here it was clear with the callers on our show, the listeners, the social media interaction, there was a sizable chunk of the Trump MAGA base who just said, that's it, we're giving up.
Yes.
They're just going to steal it again and again and again. You have a rock-solid MAGA base that listens to your show, your podcast, on Breitbart News, on SiriusXM. I think we've turned a corner, especially with 2,000 Mules. I don't get those DMs anymore that's it, it's done, they've stolen the Republic. What are you seeing with your callers and your listeners? Is there a renewed spirit that and a refusal to give up now that we have the evidence?
Yeah, I think there is a renewed spirit. I'm definitely seeing some engagement. And you know what's ironic is that I'm seeing people respond to some of the left-wing hysteria that we've seen with the Roe v. Wade issue and now the gun issue. And these are very animating to people. And there is another side to the coin where it doesn't just get Patty O'Rourke jacked up. I think it gets some of the conservative base fired up, because we want to defend our rights. We want to defend the Constitution from people who don't like it. And we're starting to see, with that example, people kind of admitting they don't like the Second Amendment in general. I think Michael Moore is out there saying it's time to repeal it. Good. Thank you. I'm glad they admit it, because we all know that's how they feel. Now they're kind of admitting admitting it. And I think that people look at this when they see answers like what Dinesh provided in Katherine Engelbrecht from True the Vote in the movie, they start saying, actually, this makes sense. And if this is the issue, maybe we can stop it. I think the confusion right after the election, when, how is it possible that Joe Biden got all those votes? That's what's demoralizing. This is highly encouraging that we're starting to see some solid proof that this is maybe what went wrong, and maybe we can start here when we're trying to fix our system.
But when it comes to the requisite response from the GOP establishment, basically nothing, correct?
Yeah, this is what they do. They don't understand where the fight is and how to fight. And they don't have real solutions for us. They want to do exactly what the left does, which is virtue signal, and then get fed at parties, and then get big donor checks and land cushy jobs on K Street. It's so irritating, Dr. G. It's a tale as old as time. But this next generation of politicians that we're seeing winning primaries now, they're not going to be like this. They're going to be fighters.
Yes, that is true. We have a slew of MAGA candidates and primary winners. But even if they have the numbers on Capitol Hill, this is my worry, and I ask, you know, the MAGA politicians that come on the show, does that change the cultural identity of the leadership of the right-wing establishment?
It doesn't, but this is why we should oppose Mitch McConnell vigorously to be the leader on the Republican side in the Senate. He should not. It's time for him to move on. And I think that the same goes with the House. And I know there's a lot of – I'm heartened that so many Republican establishments now talk a big game on MAGA. But we need to make sure that they are held to account. If they get in there, they can't just talk MAGA. They have to vote MAGA. They have to legislate MAGA, or else they're going to get primaried. And I think there's going to be a lot of outrage from the base.
It's a simple metric. You can't just talk MAGA. You've got to vote MAGA as well. We're talking to Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief of Breitbart.com and the host of the Breitbart News Daily podcast. Dear friends, are you the healthiest you can be? You've got to eat the vegetables. You've got to eat the fruit. The stuff that your mother wanted you to eat and you may have just pushed around the plate. Who likes kale, seriously, and spinach? Do what I do, cheat. Balance of Nature from Dr. Douglas Howard is 6 little capsules, 3 red, 3 green in your hand that provide you 10 servings, yes, 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables that your body craves. We don't always eat sensibly, but this is how you can guarantee that your body gets what it needs. Right now, if you order Balance of Nature, you'll get 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use the promo code BALANCE. So call today, 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, but you've got to use the promo code BALANCE. That number again, it's super easy, but write it down, 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, but you've got to use the code BALANCE for that massive, massive discount. Be the healthiest you can be. The big question, Alex, when it comes to 2024 is President Trump. I am kind of shocked. I don't believe in cults, but after his performance in the first 4 years, I'm kind of shocked by anybody who posits somebody else should run instead of President Trump, even if it's Ron DeSantis. Why? Because Ron DeSantis is a success because he has aped the policies, the stance, the attitude of President Trump. If he becomes president, if we do our part, give us your wish list of how the second Trump term should look like. As far as I'm concerned, it's got to be the berserker in the swamp. You've got to get out your flamethrower. You've got to move the departments out of D.C., take, you know, ag and agri. You know, if you can't get rid of the Department of Education, then move it to, you know, South Dakota. And then seriously, drain the swamp, fiscal responsibility, America first, build the wall. But I want to hear your druthers for what that second 4 years should look like.
Yeah, I think all you have to do, this is super easy, go to the campaign trail 2016, and everything Donald Trump was saying then that did not get done in his first term, that's the agenda. It starts with building the wall, making Mexico pay for it, cracking down on illegal immigration robustly in the Mexican cartels, declare them terrorist organizations, and then make sure that we've got a points-based legal immigration system so we don't have an infinite amount of people coming into the country who are legal immigrants. Some legal immigrants, good, but let's Let's make it so that we're benefiting from this. That's number one. Number two is you've got to break up big tech and you've got to hold them accountable. They cannot continue to benefit from so many government and bureaucracy deals in order to get richer when they discriminate by viewpoint against the president's base. Number three has got to be continue to hold China accountable. I love the tariffs. I loved a lot of the moves he made on China. We need to be even tougher on them than they were in the past. And then next, I love what you're saying. We need to, I would say, eliminate three bureaucratic agencies and the ones that we keep, a top-down, clear house, and absolutely move every single one we can to MAGA country. So the type of people who want to operate those bureaucracies are the type of people who can also live in regular America. If he starts there, then he can fire off all the hilarious tweets he wants to fire off, and all I'm going to do is applaud and giggle along with him.
Okay, let's talk about the insider threat. Of course, you know, the Vindman type of threat, the Miles yes. Taylor threat, the individuals who basically sabotaged the president from the inside, leaked, broke federal law when it came to classified information. Look, tell me if I'm wrong. You were born here. You were blessed to be born here. I chose this country. I'm a legal immigrant. I think if he comes back in, these people have to be removed root and branch. We have to have people who go into the agencies, identify those who have seditious intent, gather the evidence. If the evidence is there, they need to be charged and put up in front yeah. of a dock and charged with either espionage or sedition. And it has to happen now because I don't see another politician who could do it. He's got nothing to lose. It would be his second and final term. Am I just an extremist immigrant, or does an American born here think this is possible?
No, I think it is possible, and we can all be supportive of this. We need to encourage our brightest people to go into some of these bureaucracies to clear house. I never thought I would say that, but I do, to replace them. And we need to make heroes out of them. I try to make a hero out of people like Hash Patel, people who are in yeah. there, who are doing the right thing to try to investigate the bad guys. And that's exactly the approach we should take. And there should be prosecutions. There should be investigation after investigation. We should turn over every stone. And by the way, the good news is places like conservative media will come clean if there isn't anything. If there's an investigation that didn't go anywhere, we're not going to lie right. to you and tell you it's going somewhere. But this is the new culture we need to create. We need to look at the left's playbook and see what worked for them and adapt that and actually improve on it, which we can do.
Is there something you would like to see done differently? Is there an aspect of the first term that you wouldn't miss in the second Trump administration?
You know the answer to this. He should never talk to the establishment media yeah. ever. That should be never the New York Times. And he did a good job boycotting CNN, but the constant chatter with the New York Times and places like Axios, which is owned by Laureen Powell Jobs, which is Steve Jobs' widow who makes all of her money from China and then funnels it around to Democrat causes, that should not be acceptable. And every time he does that, he should get his hand slapped. But if he executes on the policies that are really truly in his heart and he doesn't listen to the establishment media, I don't see how he wouldn't be a huge success.
There are more than 4,000 positions that are filled by presidential commission, so they are presidential appointees. One of my largest concerns, and I'd be curious to hear your response, is that we're still not building the bench. I hear some organizations,
right.
there's a couple of MAGA think tanks that have been created. I don't see a lot of impact from those MAGA think tanks yet, but we didn't have a bench when we came in the building. You've heard me say this. We had about 20 people of senior rank who were loyal to the MAGA, loyal to the vision of 64 million Americans. And after a couple of weeks, he said, I'm using his words from an interview, Steve Bannon said, we made a, quote, drug deal with the GOP to fill those slots.
Yeah.
And they were mostly filled with Bushites who hated President Trump. So it's not just root and branch removal of the seditionists. Alex, we have to have a bench to fill those slots. Do we have them?
Yeah, I'm very skeptical of this. And having spent a lot of time in D.C. and around D.C., I'm not confident that we do. But that's no excuse. We got to play like champions here. And I think that part of what you do to start is you start ignoring the establishment media, which is already happening. The establishment media just does not have the pull they once had. I was thinking about this, Dr. G, that Jake Tapper got COVID, tested positive for COVID. Did he show anyway, presumably exposing his staff, and no one really cared? This would have been the sort sort of thing that I would have led my show, dunking on Jay Tapper for being the biggest hypocrite on the planet, and ESPN Branch, Brass, letting him do it, being the most hypocritical people on the planet after shaming kids into masks for years and then not really caring about coronavirus. I mentioned it for like 30 seconds at the end of the show. Why? No one cares about CNN. No one cares about the establishment media. And people need to understand that if you get attacked from the establishment media, it doesn't mean anything to the Donald Trump base. We don't care about these people anymore. Yeah. We've rejected them. And that's a big part of my book. So I do think that he will have an easier time recruiting. And I think we'll have an easier time just ignoring whatever bogus media storm is. But I don't know 100% firsthand this is true. But what everyone said towards the end of his first term with this guy, John McEntee, coming in and clearing house of people who are disloyal. I mean, let's do that on day one. Let's make sure that the people who are there to undermine the presidency on day one, make sure they're not there. And if they are there, he's going to have a hard time hiring that many people who are perfect. So then clear them out when they're not perfect.
Right.
Move them on, and then eventually, you know, you start with a Rex Tillerson, doesn't go great, but then you end up with a Mike Pompeo, which does go great. Yeah. You can get there. We just got to be quick to fire people who do a bad job.
I'm glad you mentioned his name. One of the unsung heroes, John McAtee, who was taken out by that seditionist, traitorous John Kelly as chief of staff. He came back. He cleaned house at the Office of Presidential Personnel, but it was for the last 6 months of the administration. We need Johnny back day one. We're talking to Alex Marlow. The book is Breaking the News. You've got to read it. You've got to follow him on all social media platforms, exposing the establishment media's hidden deals and secret corruption. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating. Tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Find out for yourself. Be the next success story. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Find out today. Call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. One of my serious regrets now is I'm not a journalist. Anybody who calls me that, I will reject that appellation. But I guess as a media thing, I'm a media, I hate the word celebrity, whatever. Radio host. As a radio host, one of my biggest regrets is I never got to meet your old boss, Alex. I was national security editor for Breitbart.com after he passed. I want everybody to understand I don't read autobiographies. I hate them. They're a waste of time usually, but I've read two. I've read J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, and I've read Righteous Indignation. In the last couple of minutes we have here, will you share with us just a couple of things, why this guy was so special and just, I know his brain was wired differently, but explain just how different he was.
Yeah, he was so different, and part of it was because he saw a couple of truths about the left that the rest of us didn't see, and he knew them so deeply to his core, he genuinely didn't care if people disagree with him on it. He also wasn't the type of guy who was a snowflake when you disagree with him. He was happy to talk to you for hours on end if you did disagree. But he saw a couple of things very clearly aside from his world-class news nose. One is that we needed to use jocularity and righteous indignation to defeat the left. We needed to have a good time. We needed to make fun of them. And I do think that Andrew was really the beginning of what led to the meme lords who, you know, were a big factor in Trump winning in 2016, is that people were having fun online and not being joyless scolds, which we've seen the left become joyless scolds, literally trying to cancel comedians in recent years. Andrew was one of the first guys to say that this is an opportunity for us to step in to the cultural space. But he also really taught us how to fight back hard as well. So it's both of those. It's the sense of humor, and it's also the ability to kick ass and take names.
And, of course, his biggest enemy wasn't just the establishment. It didn't matter where you were, but his biggest enemy were bullies. Correct, Alex?
He hated the bullies, but you're right to flag the establishment. Remember, Andrew lived in L.A. He intentionally didn't live in D.C. He lived a normal life in the few minutes he was offline with four kids and, you know, going to baseball practice and interacting with people in the community. And it was trying to – he did not want to get sucked into the swamp. That is such a great instinct. But, yes, the hatred of bullies was far surpassed any sort of political ideology that he had.
Yeah, you got to read the book. It's right there above his shoulder behind him on the bookshelf. Chapter 6 itself is worth the price of admission. It is the map of what the left is doing to America. It's Righteous Indignation by Andrew Breitbart. You are dearly missed, Andrew. And Alex's book, got to get that as well. Breaking the News. You've got to follow him on all social media platforms. You've been listening to America First One-on-One. As ever, on Friday, let's end with the words of a past and, God willing, future president.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This community is broken right now. No community should have to go through what we've gone through in this community. And for a person to come in there and start that crap, I have no respect for Beto. And the haters that hate that send me the emails and the texts, to hell with you too. I'm just telling you. But I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, an Independent. We're American people. We're trying to come together as a community. And to do what you did today at that press conference was wrong. I'm sorry, but it was wrong.
It's a difficult audio clip to hear. It's right after that press conference yesterday in that high school gym with the governor of Texas, with the chief of Texas Public Safety, with the mayor, that is the mayor of Uvalde, that is Don McLaughlin, the superintendent of schools, and he was talking to Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke, the man who felt it was the right time, as bodies were still in the morgue, as children were still in the ICU, to desecrate their memory, to politicize that event. And that's the mayor of Uvalde saying, to hell with you, Beto O'Rourke. This is not what we do in America. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem News Channel, and you are listening to America First. It is Friday. Let's unlock the phone lines. It is Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. I want to hear from you. I want you to sound off. I've been greatly... oh, my gosh. The calls are already coming in. I can see the call screener software from where I sit. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. That number again, 833-334-6752. I am touched. I am moved by the personal messages, the texts, the DMs I've received based upon what we have been doing here on America First since the shooting. And I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed with some of my colleagues, some of my conservative media colleagues who... the lines are exploding. Who don't know what to say about this event. I'll tell you what to say about this event. It's very simple. Of course it was going to happen. And it's going to happen again and again and again. And I'll tell you why. It's very easy. For more than 60 years now, we have seen an all-out assault on the tenets of our civilization. Let me walk you through them very briefly, and then you will understand. Let's start at the beginning. We have been told by the literati, by the chattering classes, by the media, by the professors, by the faculty lounge members, that America is bad. That's where it begins. It's very simple. Even the people in the White House today believe that. That's why Obama went on an apology tour as his first international effort as president. We are the problem. America is evil, is this neo-colonialist power that subjugates, that exploits. Capitalism is awful. Instead of understanding how it has raised literally billions of people from poverty in over 100 years, no, it is deemed to be evil. So number one, the context of everything is negative, is bad. Secondly, truth has been denied with the assault on religious, on religion, on faith, on organized Christianity. The idea that you can have senators such as the current vice president, former senator from California, during the Blasey Ford hearing, talk about her truth. The idea that objective truth doesn't exist, is not connected to some creator outside of us, means that young people are confused. They are told they live in a bad country and there is no truth. Secondly, there is assault on the family unit, the essential building block of society. Civilization is made up of atoms. Those atoms are the family. Look at all of these school shooters. I challenge you, I dare you to find me one of these school shooters that has a sound psychiatric makeup and comes from a home with a mother and a father at home. They come from broken homes without male role models. Then there is the question of purpose in life, meaning. Where is meaning posited? If it's not in serving something outside of yourself, a truth that exists independent of you, in service to the other, in sacrifice. Instead, it is filled with hedonism, with the meaninglessness of millennial culture, the hookup society, the Netflix streaming for hours on end, the failure to stop soft drugs becoming pervasive, the legalization of marijuana, on top of that, the fentanyl. I mean, the fact that my children's classmates dying from overdoses because they mix some recreational drug with fentanyl. A 21-year-old overdosing at college. And not just one, but multiple cases. More than 110,000 Americans dying of drug overdoses in the last 12 months alone. Twice the record in 12 years of Vietnam. And then lastly, the most important of all, which will be my mission for this foreseeable future to counter, and that is the assault on manhood. The idea that masculinity is bad, is toxic, means that there are no role models. My father was essential to my upbringing, especially in one thing that is crucial to understanding these shootings. It was my father's attitude to the use of force that I had to learn when it is appropriate and when it is inappropriate, when it's fine to be wrestling and roughhousing, and when it's not appropriate with the weak, with the vulnerable, with the fairer sex, when you stand up to defend your wife, your children, in an instant from a threat, and when you stop others from using force. If that lesson isn't inculcated into a young man before he reaches the age of 18, it will not be inculcated into them unless they pick up a mentor later in life or they serve in the military and some drill sergeant does it for them. This is what the left has wrought. They have dismantled the essential elements of our civilization, and they are responsible for every child killed in Uvalde. And we must stop them. We must save civilization by rebuilding it upon the bricks on which it was founded. Otherwise, the killings will continue, and every single one of them will be the responsibility of the godless left. Have you chosen your role? Are you standing out for the truth? Are you being a role model? Are you leading others? Together we can do it if you are part of it. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. This is America First. Make sure you are subscribed. Go right now to Spotify, punch in Sebastian Gorka. Never miss an episode. Write a review and share the links, especially yesterday's interview with President Trump. You do not want to miss any of our episodes. Back in a moment here on America First.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.